Well, hello everyone. I'm Pastor Steve at the Wilton Baptist Church. I hope you're doing well today. A lot of things to pray for, a lot of exciting things happening in our church, in the life of our church. Please pray for our campers at camp. We have 14 teens at camp this week. We have 5 more teens at camp next week. And so that's really good. Pray for them if you would. Also, we are having our host and leader training for our scatter group. That's happening right now. So all those in our household, welcome. All those watching and listening from other places, welcome as well. I'm coming to you from one of the beautiful spaces here at the Wilton Baptist Church property. And I'm out here next to the baseball field. It's just straight ahead of me right there. And found a nice piece of shade to talk to you in for our message. And really kind of goes along with what we're talking about, is how do we learn? And Jesus spoke outside quite a bit, and so I thought I'd speak outside to you here today as well. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 1, so please find that in your copy of the Bible if you would. Pray for our church if you would as well, as we are continuing throughout the summer. A lot of people are traveling, and I think that once school gets back in, it'd be here before you know it. But we're really flexible right now, looking forward to starting Awana in the fall. Really blessed. We had a good start to kids' life and a great help there with the nursery as well. So all those at home, we invite you to come back and join us and participate in our church life here at Wilton Baptist Church. All right, so let's go ahead and pray, and we'll go into our message for today. Father, thank you for this time to meet and to gather. We thank you for all the family groups and individuals, and also the scatter groups that are starting soon, and all those training now and seeing what it could be like in their homes and in their lives. We do pray you'll continue to bless our church. We thank you for every person and every life stage. We pray for all the teenagers at camp this week and also next. We pray for a great success with the church scattered, with our scattered groups, as that starts next Wednesday. We pray for a great Sunday this Sunday as we gather for worship, and we exalt you and lift up the Bible and learn more of you. Continue to grow our church, grow spiritually, help us to grow and walk closer to you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so 1 John, what a beautiful morning here today. I hope you're doing well as the different storms come in life and difficulties arise, that you'll stay true to Jesus and to the Bible, not just our tradition and ideas and things like that. All right, so 1 John chapter 1, there's an educator named Francis Wayland Parker. A woman came to him after a conference he conducted and said, "How early can I begin the education of my child? When will your child be born?" he asked. "Born? Why, he's already 5 years old." Well, he said, "Don't stand here talking to me. Hurry up, start teaching your child." You know, we have just a limited amount of time with our kids. And truly, as we influence one another, encourage one another, we're just passing through life as pilgrims. We have a limited amount of time. So as Christians, we want to learn, we want to grow, we want to also become very generativity. That's the idea of investing in others. By the time you get into your late 40s, generally people start to think about how can I invest in the next generation. It's something that just happens in that life stage. And all of us should be thinking, how can we invest? How can we encourage the next generation? Well, all of life is connected. Every facet of your life is interrelated. Sometimes people compartmentalize their life, and they look at this as church, and this is work, and this is home, and this is school, and this is something else. And truly, for the Christian, everything kind of meshes together around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle John knew this, and he's writing to some young believers, some young Christians, and he's encouraging them how to know the Lord and how to learn and to know to be more like Jesus in the day-to-day. Not just theoretically, not just in the mind, but in practical ways. And he gives some good instruction about this. The key verse for the book of 1 John is 1 John 5:13. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." And so knowing and believing, that's all cognitive, but then also in your heart, your faith as well. Many other themes include how to learn about Jesus, how to find joy, how to have fellowship with Christ, how to confess sin. All of that's just in chapter 1. But we're going to look at the first 3 verses, or actually the first 4 verses here in 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now, knowing and having joy is something that we can have. And I find it interesting that as we read this verse, even there's that the parenthetical there about the word of life, that he says we've heard it, we've seen it with our eyes, we've looked at it, and we've handled it with our hands. Now, he had a firsthand account of the life and times of Jesus. We get to hold on to an account of the life and times of Jesus in what we call the Bible. And this scripture tells us everything that we need to know about the Lord. So how do you learn? How is it that you learn anything? Whatever you're trying to learn, study, develop, you know, a new skill, something that you want to know. How do you learn? That's what I'd like to address from this passage here today. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, these people saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And so just being with Christ, experiencing him firsthand, was how Peter and John learned. And then they expressed that, of course, in their books, their letters, and their ministry, and what we get to enjoy and benefit from even today. John handled the word of the flesh in person as he touched and saw and spoke with Jesus in the flesh. We handle the word of God on paper. The word logos here is the idea of word. It also has the idea of reason, word or speech. And so he says here in verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, that which we have looked upon and handled, the word of life. So he says, here's the word of life. Here's the reasons of life. Here's the why of life. It's really the who of life, isn't it? The person of Christ himself. So John heard and saw and touched personally. And we have ears of faith and eyes of faith and a tactile touch of faith as well in our lives. And so I like Acts 2:37. And if you would find this and underline or circle it in your Bible, this is a great model for knowing the different ways that we learn. The Acts 2:37, here it is on the screen. Now, when they heard this way, or they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, notice this, if you would. They heard. That's cognitive. That's their mind. And they heard it. They were pricked in their heart. That's affective. That's the heart. That's their emotion. And then they said, what can we do about what we've learned? This is known as the 3 learning domains. So this is how we learn and the process of our learning and what it means to us when we hear and understand new things, the learning model. So the heart, that's feeling, that's affective. You see the chart here. They heard, that's thinking, that's cognitive, and then do, psychomotor, tactile, you know, the physical. What can we do about it? Some action, moving to action then. Now, when it comes to retaining what you learn, here's a great chart to help with this. At the bottom level, this is the bottom level, this is where most people learn, is receiving audiovisual reading or a lecture. That's a lecture style. So in just a conventional church setting or a classroom setting, you have a sage on the stage. You have somebody in charge in front. They're talking, they're speaking. People are supposed to be listening. Maybe they're taking notes to add some of that dimension of tactile into it. And so it's just, it's all up front. It's one way. And so when you do learn that way, you retain about 20%. Then there's participating. People generally remember 20 to 75% when they participate. So that could be playing, that could be exercises, that could be discussions, that could be demonstrations. I don't remember much of what coaches said to me, but I remember moments when I was swinging a bat or throwing a ball, and because it was more experiential. And so just by way of an example, that participating, and then learning by doing, to work with a coach, to mediate, practicing what you learn, so maybe talking through something and putting it into practice, and learning by doing. And they'll remember it more. Look at that, that stat there, up over 75%. Friends, we learn more of Jesus, and the more we learn of Jesus, the healthier we will be in our lives, in our Christian life, and just life in general, in relationships, and just in a direction and tone of our life. So how do you measure physical health? You measure physical health by body mass index, blood pressure, sugar levels, pain levels, eyesight, hearing, taste, all of these things. And how do we measure spiritual health? Well, in a similar way, how do we do that? Well, we know what the Bible says, we learn more of Christ, and then we see that affect our lives. So not only what we hear, but what we believe, and have some feeling about it, and then what we do. It's played out into how we are living. So how do we learn? We learn personally. In verse 3 and 4, we have the Apostle John, that which was from the beginning. In verse 1, he says we, he includes himself in that. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you. Verse 4, and these things write we unto you. He was including himself. I was there. I saw it. I witnessed it. I heard it. I touched it. I smelled the smells. I saw the sights. I was there. And I heard everything that was going on. And I was aware of my surroundings and what was happening. And he was learning personally. You can learn personally. Maybe you've learned from a parent. Maybe a teacher introduced you to Jesus. Perhaps a kids program. A teacher can affect eternity. He can never tell where his influence stops. You can hear Bible messages and that sage on a stage idea, you know, in a lecture style, but also you can have a guide on the side, and that's someone who comes alongside and encourages you. It's more conversational. In our scattered groups, it's more conversational. It's, let's talk about what the Bible truth was discussed today or preached today or taught, and then let's see what it means in our daily life and how can it affect and impact us and our lives today. Well, you can learn the message of the Bible. The word of life, as John speaks of, is open for all. And we come to it with a heart of faith. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. In Proverbs 15:14, the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. No, we want to seek knowledge. We want to seek the Lord and grow in our wisdom and understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ, and learn it in a practical way. The Bible can be practiced. You can practice. You know, you hear people say, well, practice what you preach. Well, let's practice what God has taught us. Let's practice what God has already revealed and showed to us in the Word of God. And so we get to do. We get to the do. So hearing, the heart's affected, and then let's do. Let's have some action about what we have been taught and what we really believe. The Bible's so practical. The book of James is like Proverbs for the New Testament. The book of Proverbs, so practical. These are life-changing, everyday, life-impacting passages that can really be a help to us in our day-to-day. So daily application. For example, if a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, he learns to fight. If a child lives with fear, he learns to be apprehensive. If a child lives with pity, he learns to feel sorry for himself. If a child lives with jealousy, he learns to feel guilty. If a child lives with encouragement, he learns to be self-confident. If he lives with tolerance, he learns to be patient. If a child lives with praise, he learns to be appreciative. If a child lives with acceptance, he learns to love. If a child lives with approval, he learns to like himself. If a child lives with recognition, he learns to have a goal. If a child lives with fairness, he learns what justice is. If a child lives with honesty, he learns what truth is. If a child lives with sincerity, he learns to have faith in himself and in those around him. And if a child lives with love, he learns the world is a wonderful place to live in. And truly, if a child lives with the love of God in his life, then he learns to love God in return. We love him because he first loved us. And so there's some great things that we can learn and things that we can share and teach and encourage and mentor for those around us. That brings us to learning collectively. So learn personally, but then learn collectively. And the we includes the other Bible writers, the other apostles. So he says we. Who's he talking about? Well, Peter, James, John, the other apostles, etc. The apostle Paul could be added to this list as well. And we saw some of these things. And John was teaching these Christians. And God puts teachers in our lives. And sometimes we're the teachers that are giving the instruction, the encouragement as well. We're not lone rangers in a Christian life. Even the lone ranger, if you listen to the old radio dramas or the old television show, the lone ranger, he also had Tonto. He also had someone there that was his helper. We're not alone. In 2 Peter 1 verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. So we're not just winging it on our own, trying to figure out what the Bible means for us. No, it's together. Others are included in our life. And so here's a teaching perspective. He says that he bore witness to this, to be a witness, to testify. And it's something that they were showing. It means to announce, to bring forth, to report, to show, to tell again. John was not talking about some shallow, empty experience, or I just woke up and I felt like this, and I just sensed that. No, he's talking about something that was concrete, that was firm, that was legitimate, that was real in his life. There was evidence. It was a real experience, and that's what he's talking about. Matthew 7 verse 29 is how Jesus taught. He taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. So it's just us, by the way. We kind of think, well, you know, this is a lot of people could be impacted, and maybe people get nervous when teaching or offering a suggestion or sharing a story that could highlight a truth or illustrate something. Well, notice how he says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. So it's us. Hey, it's just us in the room right now. And so when you share in a scatter group, it's this handful of people that is chosen to study the Bible and then to open their heart and to share some things that they've learned or some experiences or some examples that will encourage the next generation. The kids will be able to ask questions and what does this mean and how does it impact and to then have some insight from the older teaching the younger, and it's conversational. I think about what the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 6. We get the teaching down. We've done it for years, the teaching, but what about the talking? It's discussion. It's not just one way. It's back and forth. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. I love that. It's the Shema. It's about hearing and that great declaration of God being one singular God. Even a Trinity, one singular God. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. So the teaching, we have that. What about the talking? That's the guide on the side. Let's talk through this. Let's see what it means. Let's make application for today. So learn personally, learn collectively, and learn in each learning style. Avoid learning just one way. Some people are like, well, you know, I'm just visual, so all I'll do is watch TV. Or, you know, I'm just audible, so I just want a lecture style, or someone's just talking, and that's how I'm going to learn. Or I'm just, I'm just going to read a book, I'll learn that way. Or I don't want to read a book, I just want to do. You know, I just want to do, work with my hands, and I'm not going to. No, try to learn in different learning styles, and that's part of the benefit of the scatter group. It's not just a lecture style format. It can be conversational and very helpful for people who learn in different ways. Hearing, that's audible. It's the first and primary way of Bible learning. In Matthew 11:15, he that hath ears, let him hear. That's said 8 times in the Bible. So God wants us to be able to hear. Something that we've encouraged in our home and family with our kids is we listen to Adventures in Odyssey. It's a radio drama. And that helped our kids to learn to be able to hear. you know, when I'm speaking, when their mom's speaking, or when others are talking, to be able to listen. Because sometimes you can talk to someone, they don't hear anything that you say. We need to learn to listen by hearing. How about seeing? That's visual. We use visual aids on purpose. These screens, these slides on the screen, and the images behind the verses, those aren't accident. I mean, we try to find one that fits with what that verse is speaking of. It doesn't always match up like I'd like, but we try to do that because it helps us learn. It's like a secondary way to learn if it goes along with what you're trying to teach and to share. Object lessons are good. The environment, you know, what the setting is, you learn from the sounds and the way that people are responding, and if the temperature's hot or cold, if the house is clean or not, or, you know, if the chairs in the church are falling apart and things are messy. There's secondary lessons because of the environment. That's some of that seeing. Touching is psychomotor, like the idea of monkey see, monkey do. You know, dad, hey, hand me this socket wrench here, and I need this. And so learning by doing, that's a great thing as well. I learned a lot, and I enjoy learning that way as well. Think about in the time of Christ, when John was with Jesus, he would have smelled the smells of the Mediterranean Sea as the wind blew it in along the shores. He would have been there when they pulled in the fish, and you have all the smell of fish there at the Sea of Galilee. And when they're smoke coming from the fire when Jesus is on trial, those are all things that are secondary lessons and things that are part of the experience of that classroom of learning. Even when Thomas and the disciples, they touched the resurrected Jesus, that was part of their learning experience. There's always secondary lessons like that. When we hold and open our Bible, there's that tactile, there's that touch and turning the pages, even when if you underline, etc. That's some of that doing that helps as well. Doing is so important. The Beatitudes are an example. The Sermon on the Mount, here's an example of that. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So your light shining. How about this? In Matthew 5, 41 and 42, whosoever shall compel thee go a mile, go with him twain. There's an imperative. There's a verb, action. Go. It's a do. And give to him that asketh thee. So give. And from him that would borrow thee, turn not thou away. You see, true learning takes place when lessons become a habit. Somebody said, I think, 6 weeks doing something. There's different studies, say repetition, 21 times doing the same thing, it becomes a habit. 6 weeks going to church, it becomes a habit, etc. And so the doing really helps us as well. 1 John 5:13, these things are written that ye may know that ye have eternal life. The Apostle John tells us here that we can learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. We can know him personally. We can learn more of him each and every day. I hope that you're learning and growing. Acts 2:37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? All right, so in our scatter groups, I want to encourage you with a few things. Be very conversational. Be very practical. Feel free to share. Now, don't monopolize the conversation. If somebody has a story, but maybe a person has a great example, let them share something. Don't be the one always thinking, I have to talk, or I have to be the one sharing or talking and monopolizing the time. Don't be that person. Just share one or two examples or stories as we go through the questions. Be considerate of the time of others. So some people have stayed at our house for an hour, like when we're done with the Bible study, then they'll talk for a little bit, then head out. Sometimes we'll be there 3 hours and playing songs and fellowshipping and encouraging. So don't feel like I have to go or that I have to stay. Be considerate of the host and, you know, depending on your parking situation, just be considerate of other people. Let the kids ask the questions. I think it's great. Let the teenagers participate. I rarely will lead the discussion and answers, and we'll have our application. That'll be at the end of this. I rarely lead that because I like to leave the floor open for those in the group and the young people to ask and then others to converse. And again, this is the talking in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Read the passage ahead of time. And we have Bible reading planners. I put it out on Facebook, send it on email. There's hard copies in the lobby. And so the next 17 sessions are already listed, like what verses we're going to be discussing and preaching and talking through that night or that week. And then Don't force someone to tell a story. Don't call on someone to pray or something. Not everyone's up for public speaking, even in a small group like that. Don't force anyone. Maybe talk to them ahead of time. Are you willing to do this, or would you like to, etc.? But not right on the spot where people feel maybe a negative towards a group because of, you know, well, they asked me to do this, and I'm not really comfortable with that. You know, they may grow into that, but don't force that. Someone shouldn't feel forced to speak publicly. We're going to keep our groups to 15 or less people. There's a reason for that. If you have 16 or more, it gets a little bit too big. So it's small enough to know people, and it's big enough to know people, if that would make sense, and really helps as well. So be committed. Stick with your group from now until November. Basically, right around Thanksgiving, we'll be finishing up, wrapping up the year for our scatter groups. But stick it out. Be faithful. Be committed. Your group may have food. It may not have food. It's up to the host and the timing of everything. But be an encourager. Be an encourager. Go ahead and share some of those prayer requests, and we'll be emailing those out to the rest of the church as well. Please designate someone to email that to our secretary's account. And please pray and participate and be a part of the scatter group. And I believe it'll help in a lot of ways. And I'll share more of that in the coming days as well. So I look forward to seeing you as we study Soldiers of Grace, the book of 2 Timothy. Thanks for participating tonight. Please take some time to pray with your group and answer the discussion and application questions. God bless.